Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Head of Market Strategy here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Senior Market Analyst, Roman Zaruk. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of FX Talk. And probably the biggest talking point that we've seen, certainly in the FX market since our last episode, has been this sell-off that we've witnessed in the US dollar, which is trading lower against pretty much every other currency. We've had some relatively mixed data out of the US economy. The February non-farm payrolls report was undeniably soft. February job creation actually came in 75,000 above expectations, but that was more than negated by the 124,000 downward revision to January. The unemployment rate also rose to 3.9%. That's the highest level since January 2022, while wage growth rose by only 0.1% on the month, which is the slowest pace we've seen in over 2 years. The US inflation report, however, for February beat expectations in both the headline and core rate of inflation, which came in at 3.2 and 3.8% respectively. FOMC Chair Jerome Powell has indicated in his recent communications that the Fed is close to seeing enough evidence of a downtrend in inflation to cut interest rates. This has markets of the opinion that a first US rate cut is likely on the way at the bank's June meeting, a notion that has the dollar firmly on the back foot. Indeed, at the time of this recording, euro-dollar is trading above the 109 level, which is around its highest level so far this year, with the sterling-dollar pair trading just below last week's 7.5-month highs. But is this move in the greenback justified, or does it appear a little bit stretched? What do you both think?
I think that the markets are getting a bit ahead of themselves. The key to me is that that number that I keep harping on, the 3-month average of core inflation in the US, which had the second consecutive moderately positive surprise, nothing explosive or anything, but clearly this number has been trending up for the last 5 to 6 months. It seems like the downward trend of inflation that took us down from above 6% to somewhere between 3.5% and 4% annualized clearly has stalled. It's not. There's no worrisome signs of rebound either, but they have stalled. And the idea that the that a Federal Reserve cut by June is a done deal, I think that, whereas I still think is perhaps the central scenario, the possibility that it gets delayed is not negligible. In fact, I think all it would take is another positive surprise in that core number in inflation, and we'll probably start talking about July or even September. Not that that's my central scenario. And on the other hand, it's clear to me that, increasingly clear to me that the European Central Bank is going to cut before the US does, right? In the Eurozone, we haven't seen this sort of stagnation in the downward trend of inflation. Inflation continues down. The wage number, quarterly wage number, which unfortunately comes out with some delay, came in, I think, under expectations, consistent with continued disinflation trend. So whenever I'm increasingly confident that the ECB will cut either earlier than or at the latest at the same time as the Fed does. And so here, close to 110 to the euro-dollar rate, I think that maybe the markets are going to be ahead of themselves and dollar is more likely to rally than not.
I think that the move in the euro-dollar might be stretched, but only marginally. I mean, after all, the eurozone economic data continues to surprise to the upside. The economic surprise index reached in March, I think, the highest level since April last year. And it's not showing any signs of turning, which is contrasting with the situation in the US, when it's actually right now the nominal value of the index is lower and the index itself turned lower. Also, looking at the US economic data overall, the inflation may not be falling as fast as we would like. So this last mile is proving to be more challenging. The three-month annualized core above 4% is certainly not pretty. That said, I think we might be starting to see some more tangible signs that the labor market situation is in fact easing. US growth also looks set to be slowing. So I actually think that the case for June is quite solid, and myself, I am quite surprised that the markets are not fully pricing in June rate reduction yet. If we would be in a situation where they would start pricing in fully, then it would be negative for the US dollar. So I don't think that there is a lot of room for the dollar to appreciate. Although perhaps the rally has been in the euro dollar has been a bit too significant, because we are nearing 110 levels, and I don't think that everything fully justifies the place where we are right now.
Yes, man. The reason why I asked whether this move in the dollar is stretched is partly because I think myself, I actually do think it is a little bit stretched. I think the dollar has. As Enrique was saying, I think that the dollar has sold off maybe a little bit too much in the last few weeks. Actually, if we look at market pricing, Fed fund futures in the last month, they've not really changed too much at all. And the US dollar index during that time is trading around about 2% lower. And I don't think enough has been made around this inflation surprise, particularly if we look at the core number in the last few months, as you guys have been talking about, this three-month annualized rate, which we're particularly keen on and highlight quite a lot. Just for clarification, this takes the last 3 months of monthly core inflation data and then extrapolates that across a 12-month period. As you've both been saying, this is now back above 4%. That's the highest level since May last year. So is that enough to derail calls for a June interest rate cut? At the moment, I don't think so yet. I still think that's probably the most likely, but there is certainly an element of doubt. And again, as Enrique, as you mentioned, I think certainly one, possibly two more CPI reports that come out slightly above expectations, again, particularly in that core number, could even take a June rate cut almost entirely off the table. And that would certainly be a US dollar positive, and we may see a bit of a retracement in the recent moves. Let's move on now, because it's a very busy week. We have a very busy week of central bank announcements ahead of us next week. That's the time of the recording anyway. We have the Reserve Bank of Australia, Bank of Japan, Federal Reserve, Bank of England, Norges Bank and Swiss National Bank all announcing their latest policy decisions in the third week of March, in what bodes to be a very volatile few days for currencies. I would say the upcoming meeting of the Bank of Japan in particular will likely be very closely watched, given recent hawkish comments from Bank of Japan members, which suggest that the first interest rate hike in Japan could be on the way since 2007. Investors and analysts are very much torn down the middle as to whether a 10 basis point rate hike could be on the way. It appears a very close call indeed. And at any rate, there is a broad expectation that even in the event of no change, the Bank of Japan could heavily hint at a hike at the following meeting in April as policymakers react to what is set to be a pretty sizable wage hikes at the annual Shunto wage negotiations. Aside from the Bank of Japan, as always, the Fed meeting will be very closely watched by investors. There's no rate cut seen next Thursday, but the latest dot plot of interest rate projections will, of course, be very key for markets, as this will likely give investors an idea as to both the start date and pace of cuts in 2024. Slightly later in the week, the Bank of England meeting may be slightly lower key, given UK inflation and wages remain slightly higher than in many of its major peers, which suggests that the first UK rate cut could be on the way later in the year. So a lot to look ahead to and look forward to. What do you both see as the main risks to markets from these central bank meetings? What are your sort of general expectations for the busy week ahead?
I think the Federal Reserve is going to try to hew very closely to market expectations. I think that they've done a good job of that lately. I agree with you that I don't think this modest upward surprises in inflation that we've seen are nearly enough to tip the scales towards a more hawkish statement. I think they will continue to hint that the first cut is likely in the summer. So I don't expect a lot of market movement there. I think the Bank of England, given the last week's labor report out of the UK, which was a little weaker than expected, shows some job losses and especially deceleration in wages, means that the Bank of England meeting will be more important and possibly will cause more volatility. And we want to see whether that hawkishness that has markets pricing in the Bank of England as the last major bank to cut rates, whether that starts to change. And I think that most of the volatility I would expect to come around the Bank of Japan meeting. I think if they do move, it'll be the first move. It will be such a tectonic change in monetary policy in Japan after years, decades, really, of ever looser policy. And that happens also with the Japanese yen at all-time lows in terms of both nominal value and real value, that there is the potential for an explosive move in the yen.
As for the UK, with the data that we have right now, so core inflation above 5%, wage growth, excluding bonuses, above 6%, I don't think the conditions are right to ease monetary policy in the near future. So there is a bit longer road, I think, in the case of the UK than some other major economies before the central bank starts seriously thinking about cutting rates. So I don't think that they will be particularly clear in their communication, since there will be a couple of meetings at least before those rate cuts indeed come, in my opinion. And also, we are not going to receive any macroeconomic projections this time, so I think that perhaps this will be a bit of a more low-key meeting. When it comes to the Fed, I also don't expect too many fireworks, but at the same time, since this is a March meeting, we are going to get the projections, and the attention should be on those, as I don't think that they would be particularly vocal at this point, but the projections should, as they always do, speak for themselves and perhaps lead to some volatility. When it comes to other central banks, definitely the attention will be on the Bank of Japan, because I think markets are betting 50-50 on whether they will actually pull the trigger or not. And this, as you said, Enrique, will be a massive shift compared to what we have been used to. Also interesting will be the Swiss National Bank, which I think we'll cover in a moment.
Yes, well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right in saying the Bank of Japan meeting probably actually the most interesting central bank meeting next week to be looking forward to. It very much a coin toss, I think, at this stage as to whether the BOJ will raise rates. At any rate, I mean, I think even if they didn't deliver a hike, I think there will be firm forward guidance in the communications that would strongly point to a first 10 basis point hike at the following meeting in April. So that could be enough to support the yen. And certainly if we were to get the start of policy tightening in the next couple of meetings, I think that would be enough to start triggering this yen rally that we've been calling for some time. Aside from the Bank of Japan, of course, the Fed meeting, as mentioned, will be very closely watched. The dot plot, I think, is going to be particularly interesting. At this stage, I don't think we'll see too much change in those dots relative to the last projections in December. The December dot plot showed 3 rate cuts in 2024. I think the Fed will probably opt for something very similar this time around. That would give a bit of optionality as to whether they start cutting in June or July, and then at a couple more later this year. I think that would be roughly in line with our forecast. And then as for the Bank of England, as you said, probably a low-key event. No change in rhetoric just yet. But the vote on interest rates among the MPC members, as always, will be very, very closely watched. And I'll be looking for signs of a dovish shift whereby we see maybe one or two votes in favour of immediate cuts from some of the doves, and possibly a shift from some of the hawks, maybe one or two of the hawks, shift their votes in favour of no change. That could be bearish for the pound, and I would maybe look for some sterling weakness as we head into the next week's Bank of England meeting. We're going to finish now by talking about the Swiss franc and next week's Swiss National Bank meeting. We've seen a bit of a retracement in the Swiss franc since the beginning of the year. The euro-Swiss franc pair has been on a steady downward path in the past 3 years or so, moving from around about the 110 level in early 2021 to around the 0.93 level earlier this year, making the Swiss franc undoubtedly the big outperformer in the G10 in that time. Why have we seen this move? Well, we've seen a big shift in Swiss National Bank policy in recent years, whereby the SNB has gone from a very low rate environment and intervention in order to weaken the currency, in order to boost exports, to aggressive interest rate hikes and a preference for a stronger franc in order to lower inflation. But as mentioned, the euro-Swiss franc pair has risen in the last couple of months or so and is now trading around the 0.96 mark amid expectations that the SNB could deliver an interest rate cut as soon as the 21st of March meeting. The next week's meeting is going to be an important one, no doubt. But what can we expect? What do you guys think? Maybe we start with Roman, our sort of resident Swiss franc expert. Roman, what do you see from the meeting, and what kind of impact do you think it could have on the Swiss franc?
It definitely is going to be a very interesting meeting to watch, particularly considering that the Swiss inflation has dropped significantly at the beginning of the year. So right now, if we were to look at all of the major central banks and see where the inflation battle is nearing its end or it's won, definitely the SNB seems to be outshining all other central banks, with both the headline inflation and core inflation around the level of 1% right now. So the conditions on that front, on the inflation front, to ease monetary policy, I think they are there. Economic activity also has been relatively weak, although not as weak as expected. So also on that front, I don't think that there are significant upside risks to inflation. So based on that, we would expect the Swiss National Bank to be moving towards easing monetary policy. However, those shifts that I just mentioned, they have been happening only recently, at least the significant decline in inflation. And central banks, they tend to be a bit more cautious and proceeding slowly with adjusting monetary policy. So on the basis of that, I think most economists are still betting on September with regards to the first move from the SNB, and the markets is penciling in June as the most likely moment for that. I would be also opting for June. I think that the central bank should probably move in a sequential way, in which it initially focuses more on the exchange rate. So I think that perhaps it could be a bit more, it could send some dovish signals through comments about the exchange rates, and also perhaps adjustments to its inflation projections, and prepare us for the rate decrease in June, which I think is very realistic. I don't necessarily think that they're going to, I don't think that the cut in March should be seen as a base scenario. Also, because I think now is the time when they might want to be a bit more cautious, especially considering that the president of the SNB, Mr. Jordan, announced that he will be stepping down in September. So perhaps they would opt to be a bit more predictable. At the same time, you know, in the past, the Swiss National Bank, they had a problem with deflation. Also, they have been bold in the past. Looking at 2015, they surprised the markets significantly with dropping the euro peg. They also surprised markets in 2022 with starting their interest rate, with starting cutting rates with a massive 50 basis point rate reduction. So I wouldn't entirely rule out a possibility of a March cut. I think that they could do it, but my bet would still be on June. And I think that the move towards easier monetary policy in Switzerland should continue to mean that the Swiss national that the Swiss franc will likely weaken over the coming quarters and perhaps even forward.
Oh, thank you for that introduction. I don't really have much to add to that. I mean, it was my biggest short a few months ago, and it's, you know, I got it right, which has been a rare win for me the last few months. After the recent significant fall, I mean, I look at it is still an expensive currency, but not dramatically so. If you look at it in terms of real exchange rate terms, you have to remember that Switzerland has almost no inflation. Its inflation is the lowest in the G10. So that means that prices in Switzerland are constantly dropping relative to the rest of the world, so that the appreciation in real terms is less than it is in nominal terms. And taking those right now, it's pretty much in the middle of the range that it's had since the great financial crisis. So I think at this point, and given the significant geopolitical uncertainty of the next 12 months, starting with the U.S. presidential election, about which more in a later podcast, I don't think it's a sell anymore, and I would call it a hold here. It's about close to fair value, my view.
And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit eBreed's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.